is in heaven was seen inside the tabernacle. But I do suggest that if you understand those three compartments of the tabernacle, you have a fair idea of the three divisions of which we were speaking last night. And of course, when we are reading these words that we read in Hebrews, we have the Lord, and the Lord Jesus, entering into the presence of God. And he appears in the presence of God for us. Now you know that Israel's high priest in the old economy, he went into the presence of God, and he carried the names of the tribes upon his breast, and he carried them also on his back, on his shoulder. And when we have the nation represented as dear to his heart, in the other we have the nation represented as being upheld by his strength. And so at God's right hand tonight, let us take a moment and think of it. We have one who holds us before God in all the dignity of his person. And he there appears for us and brings us right in spirit, right into the holiness of God. Some people are yet talking about their places of worship. One man says, I worship down the street there. Another man, he says, I worship up the street there. Another man says, well, I have two or three places of worship. Well, always remember, dear believer, your place of worship is the holiness of God. That's the very sanctuary of God above.
It's not confined to brick walls. It's not confined to school building. It's not at all confined to tents or anything like that. You go right into the immediate presence of God. In a definite sense, our blessed Lord has gone in, and some of us were thinking today, and we spoke at the funeral, we go into the presence of God, and he is our forerunner, who has for us entered. That is, not only has he gone into within the veil, but he is leading his own in it. That's more than Aaron could ever do. He could go in there and represent the people before God, but he could never say to the people, come on in and enjoy this with me. He could carry their names on his breast or on his shoulders, but he couldn't bring them personally in. What our great forerunner, the great priest that we have, he not only has gone inside the veil himself, right into the immediate presence of God, and I call that, if you like, the third heaven that we were speaking about last night, and he not only has gone in himself, but as he went in, he was leaving the marks of the prayer on the very floor of heaven that he came with, that the faith of his people would tread when they would enter the same place. And about all that into us. What's he there doing? Well, that he escaped it, that he appears in the presence of God for us. And we must remember that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So that beauty has gone in, he affirmed acceptance through him in the presence of God. And then he undertakes her key. And he intercedes for us. And he pleads for us. And to all our prayers and praises, Christ adds his sweet perfume. And love the sense of ages, he understood and said, oh dear child of God, if you haven't just near now, read about the priest through the prayer. What you experimental? Know the value of having a priest. A priest to represent you. A great priest and a high priest in the presence of God. At this turn are you with the leaders. And the one thought I often think of. Maybe I can dream that I got a sign for that. Did anyone notice that there were two men living at the same time that both needed the desolate? It's not going to happen. Who's a man called up? He may have known about Melchizedek, I would judge that possibly he did. But he never tasted any bread and wine from Melchizedek. There's a man called Abraham. And he not only knew Melchizedek, but he experienced practically
his supper and his strength in time of need. I may be wrong, but I'm afraid that our men will go through.
And all they do experimentally
about the strengthening power of the great priest and God the Son is very humble. Over many,
as if there was no high priest to suffer that, to strengthen that, to put a strength to them in their hour of trial, to build them up and to strengthen them up
as they face the conflict and the problem of life. Never be satisfied with mere knowledge and feeling that would be practical in the room to appear. The history of that. Then you will also realize that we need more than Christ as a priest. We need also Christ as an advocate. Now that word advocate, as you all know, is the same word as is used concerning the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, one that is called alongside. And you say, where is the help needed in that passage? Well, you see, the help is needed when fellowship with the Father has been broken. And when the child of God has breathed his heart. I hope you're thinking about it. Maybe you don't give up much thought. Maybe I like this, and you grieved about it for a while, and you never even thought you were grieving your Father and sinning against God. Maybe spent the most of the day without much thought of God, or of Christ, or of eternity. Maybe actually doubling things that when you had finished with them, you were sure you were alive, that you had believed it. You learn from that. You are. You are. It is clean up. The old man said.
There's a difficulty. What's wrong? Father has been grieved at his child.
The sweetness of his company is no longer his heart. Who's going to mend the broken links of fellowship?
Who's going to put together what has been parted for the time being? Who's going to warm the heart again and restore the soul?
Listen to it again, dear child of God, for you need it, and so do I.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And so he takes up our case, and comes alongside that, and enables us to once more see our Father's face.
And again, I'm speaking better than that.
And once more enjoy communion with God.
And I'm afraid now, again I have to speak reservedly. I'm afraid there are quite a few God of God dear people confessing so anyhow.
And they walk at such a distance from God
that they hardly miss fellowship.
And the idea of fellowship being disturbed is no worry to them
because they don't know anything about it to us or about it living.
Can it be that many walk a distance from God, and are no longer sensitive to the fact that I'm not as sweetly enjoying God as I once did,
nor am I living as I once have been? When you think of the things that seems so kind to say to one another, when you think of the hardness sometimes of the attitude one to another, when you think of the lack of sympathy one with another, when you think of all that divides the blood, the hungry of God, is it not a time that we would need to feel something of the seriousness of grieving God and allowing fellowship with Him to be disrupted? I hope and trust that there's a great consent from that side of feelings come to the Lord. We have an advocate with the Father.
And then, what's going on now? Dear man, you've got those three books, and I hope this will have been a very dangerous one. Great priest of God,
he's appearing in the presence of God for us. Well, that's the only one.
Then secondly, an advocate of God.
And if we need him as an advocate, we then have to take up for that wonderful, pushing forward for that wonderful exercise.
Now we come to another book. Now this.
Now, I have to ask you to agree with me that you can in the book of Revelation. You have all done that. What you should do that. You have to look at it and argue with it. And I'll make it impossible to agree on all these points.
But now, bear with me.
and I hope when I have finished you'll not take this up too far apart from my head. First thing I want us to see is this, that heaven is a place where apprehension is greatly intensified. And he's going to come. Now, I don't mean to say that men don't learn where God down here. And I do not suggest that men cannot enter into the purposes of God down here. But I'm quite sure, when I read about these living creatures, through the lives, before and behind, what a lot of rotten things they can see now. And they can see forward, and they can see backward. One of the things I want you to remember, dear child of God, is this, that when you're up in heaven, and I'm there, there'll be two ways we'll be looking. We'll be looking back, and we'll be looking forward. We'll be able to have long sight backward. Oh, yes. I think we do it a little in our hands of time. The streams of love are fetched up to the earth of God, and any sovereign counsel see eternal thoughts of love to me. Isn't that the eye going backwards, looking away back? And then we'll be able to see forward in a way that we never could truly see in this world. And that last phrase, or most of the 13th of 1 Corinthians, I didn't know the verse I named it. And it were something like this, then shall we know, even as we are known. I think it that we have complete revelation here. Absolutely complete. God has nothing more to say. I mean, it's truly revealed. You see, I not only believe in revelation from God, but I believe in a complete revelation. Oh, they want to tell us we've already revealed. But all that we have revealed hasn't been apprehended by us. See the difference? All that he has truly declared, we haven't been capable of taking in, aren't we, dear friends? Aren't we? Don't we think we see the whole lot when we're only looking at them? Don't we think we have understood a lot?
And yet, what have we understood?
You remember the psalmist got into the Lord's presence and he smote his breast as it were, though that's not stated in the passage. And the impression he had was this, I was like a beast before him. Our limit, our apprehension is we have to own and confess. And won't it be a great day, dear saint of God, when we really know, really know. All those problems that we weren't able to sort out and weren't able to solve in this world, we will then have absolutely the grasp of them, the real grasp of them, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, filling us without limitation, and understanding them to all their fullness.
Look at a picture of this.
On the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, I'm not going to tell you that the Mount of Transfiguration was heaven.
For you men, there's not too much for me to tell you that. And I'm not going to do that.
But I think what it is, like it was true, it was the nearest experience that men ever had to happen down here on earth, for it was a preview of the kingdom. And this is the point I want to look from now. You remember on that occasion, there are two men,
you may be mentioning again in a moment or two,
there are two men called one called Moses,
and the other called Elijah, Elias.
And they spake of his deceit,
which he would have come to Jerusalem.
Also, some of the other men could have talked of that in time. But now, I would say there was a clearness here that they hadn't in time. Well, and Moses had penned down about the offerings and the different sacrifices connected with the altar. They had no new meaning. He was looking into the face of the one that would die upon the tree. And those revelations that he had received, and that sight that Elijah had seen when he saw the fire coming down and the altar reeking and the sacrifice consumed, those scenes took a new meaning to them, and they spake of his deceit that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. Was that not true, maiden?
At least it wasn't true. You were so mean anyhow, you tell me. I take one part of the Bible that you can't see,
please bear with me. Does that not show me that man in the glory of the presence of Christ would have an increase of apprehension?
Oh, the verses of the Bible that will open up to us in our fullness, and things we have read and wondered at, and even at times thank God for, we then see them in our fullness.
We have never known in this world of God. It will be a scene where there not only be activity on the part of Christ, but there will be activity of mind.
That's the thing I want to get at.
Whether you pass the 11 plus, or whatever grade you've made in the educational world, when you get to heaven, you certainly have stepped up a bit in your apprehension, in your understanding. Revelation will have become a sweet and a glorious experience.
They can tell of it, of the men, of the saints.
And again,
not sure that a son of us could hardly let without getting something fresh from the word of God. That's like our very good fish.
We're like a child with a new toy. When we get something fresh from the word of God, what will it be like to be getting constant impartations to our mind of divine truth
and indwelling all, and then getting further and further and further
into the wonderful purposes of God, into the very deepest recesses of life.
Now then, the next thing I want to speak about is this, that it's not only be a case where our apprehension will be increased and our mind will be active, but it will be a case of a huge abandonment. Already be attentive of the fact that we are good. And it will be a place where there will be eternal worship. Now I know the word worship is topic of earth and it's maybe over emphasized in certain circles. And even some cases are so far away from the scriptures that they actually talk about the worship meeting. And there's no such thing as you know in the New Testament of a worship meeting. I haven't found it. There's a morning meeting or a remembrance meeting. And then appoint a new name for that, when they call that a worship meeting. You say, now, this is a worship meeting, you must believe the Bible. And you must believe in closing prayer. And you must be careful what you say, you mustn't mention the Father then. Because you don't worship the Father, you worship the God. And all this thing that they have, and you spread it. And that's wrong in the Bible. No scripture foundation for that. You say, what do you come to do on the Lord's Day morning? I come to remember the Lord. Whether I read about it, or sing about it, or give thanks for it, or meditate upon it, I'm still remembering the Lord. And especially when I break the bread and drink the cup in memory of Him. Never simple enough, brethren, and stick at that. Don't let men fool you. Don't ask for food. Well, it's an easy for food. And you do that.
Now, if I come to heaven with worship, what is worship become?
It's just a frustration of our hearts before God. In fact, it's actually used. The word is actually used to find men worshipping their fellow. Not that they worship them in the sense that they make a God out of them, but they bow before them. And when I'm worshipping God, I bow in holy reverence before His servant, holy gifts, and the consciousness of the earth that is due to this holy presence. I hope you know that. I hope you know what it is.
I'm very happy.
The first time any one of us was just immediately after we got saved. So somebody didn't even think of the word. No, I'm sure you didn't. You didn't get occupied with the word. So you got occupied with the word, you didn't worship the God.
But just you say, what was it? It was just like that.
And you didn't get in the word of God. Maybe you weren't able to express it. Maybe you couldn't truly word it. Maybe you said, oh, I know you're so making prayers and I couldn't try. We didn't even try making them, friend. Nothing but trying to make them and don't you worry. Just let the heart flow out. Whatever expresses it, that will do all right.
and that's this. And what have you
been? The power in this pet,
I think of him like I got a love letter.
And he said, we fall up the street, and the story of it, and the love of some of it.
That was the fuck you.
Oh, the spirit of love will pervade the place, and every heart will be, oh, at the wonders of God, at the greatness of his Son, at the sweetness of salvation, all will be all with the great scenes to which they've been brought, but far more of
at the presence of God, in whose presence they will be forever.
And along with that, of course, he wants to let the believers be still. That is to say, we as priests now, we offer up spirit to a sacrifice. Now again, remember that priesthood is never linked with a remembrance meter in your Bible. Kept apart from it. For there are plenty who have exercised their priesthood who never remember the Lord who they should have done in the breaking of bread. Priesthood never limited to the assembly. Nor is never limited to a gathered company. Priesthood goes far broader than that. And when remembrance meetings are at an end forever, priesthood will continue. Priests unto our God forever.
Priests turn to send over.
Those men, they have put off the night offered to God. They brought typical sacrifices that were speaking of Christ in anticipation. The child of God, he takes into the presence of God the same blessed God, but this time he's thinking of Christ, the victim who died upon the tree. And he presents him to God, and he wears him before God. That is, he looks, as it were, at the length and breadth of revelation concerning the person of Christ. And he heaves him up, and he lifts him up, and he looks at his church, and he handles, as it were, in his soul, the person of Christ. And he spares him up before his God. What will the eternity of that be like? I hope we know a little about it now then. I hope we're giving the Lord his portion as priests now. I hope we appreciate that, so that we might say along with our worship will be our wonderful experience of priesthood, not only bowing before God, but offering up to God through our eternal gate. And then when you have thought of that, immediately another idea comes into your mind. And that is not only our adoration before God, but the very thought of the arms that he was saying. Saying. I suppose that for some, maybe, that is mentioned in the New Testament. It's in Revelation chapter 5. Somebody was shown before that. Now, in the book of that, they if I remember correctly, this one that we have just read, they sang a new song, say, thou art worthy, for thou hast redeemed us for God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. A song. Composed, what to do? To celebrate his praise. To sing forever in the ears of God. For you know our blessed Lord is looked upon in the book of Hebrews. It says that in the midst of the congregation will I sing praises unto thee. And that's a reference to Christ. He's the praise leader. He leads the choirs of heaven. And I sing a new song unto him. What is the song?
Thou art worthy.
Thou art worthy, O Lamb. Of God art thou, we sing at times. That every knee to thee should bow. Yes, I like the line suggested by some of Brother Fortier, that dear lady who wrote to him, he sings so often. When he put it down like this, the Lamb has all the books of Emmanuel's life. They're in a place where the Lord gets his presence. We're going to sing. You see, what's the idea behind singing? Well, the idea behind singing is that it's a composition that when it is thought upon, it is easily retained in the mind and appreciated in the heart.
They sing a new song, say, that was great. And then they say, what?
Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.
Now, I want you to think of it, because I greatly annoy the ladies. Not to bear with me, but I do get annoyed at ladies. I mean, this is where I feel they have missed the boat in certain directions. And one of the things that annoys me, not at all very much of them, but other works, is that they constantly give thanks to God. And they miss out in one side of things. What is that? They never seem to appreciate the personal side of it. They tell you, well, you know, we believe in giving the burnt offering, and that's all for God.
But they haven't even read the story in Leviticus 1. Or they would know better.
You say, why? If whatever a man offered his burnt offering, he could be harmed upon his head.
What that mean? It meant that he was demonstrating, that's for me.
Now look, brother, if you're giving thanks for the Lord today morning,
never let that side of your thanks be. It was for me, it's all for me. Oh, would you say I would like to rise higher than that and think of what it means to God?
That's not the burnt offering. Not going higher.
That's like a man bringing his sacrifice and putting it on the altar and never putting his hand on his head. What we need to learn from our Bible today is that God would expect us not only to sing of my Redeemer and his praises tell forth, but as I do so, feel that it was for me.
And that's what makes the song to do.
Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.
And have made us unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign over the earth. Are there 14 songs in the book of Revelation? I'm not too sure. I think that's about the number.
So you can easily see that this book that has much to do with the scenes above and much to lift our minds into those heavenly courts, that it's a book that is full of sin.
Full of sin.
Christ, my Lord, my voice,
I do.
Oh, may God put songs at me.
I know that all in the land that is danger, thy heart and danger told me.
And that would be amongst us of the Lord's people that's humiliated. And if you knew it as I see it, you'd likely feel it even, maybe a little more than you do.
For I do over many things, but I see our heart and what God would have. At the same time, let it not dump out our singing.
Let it not kill our song, for we're going to sing forever.
That's another of the great activities of heaven. The conference that will rise in that coming heaven. Now, none of it. I'm already quoted. You will have noticed that the air is changed.
I take a straight. Maybe you don't say I'm a stranger, but has made us kings and priests.
Now, there's a slight difference in that expression and chapter 1.
In chapter 1, it's a kingdom of priests. But when you come to chapter 5, where we read, he has made us kings and priests. So that it's not just a totality of priests that's in view, but there seems to be two distinct offices that we are to enjoy forever. Not only will we be priests eternally,
and that links us with our great house,
but we will be kings eternally.
And that links us with the King of Kings. For you know as well as, let me tell you, as well as you know anything,
that Christ is both king and priest, for Melchizedek was both a king and a priest. And he was a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And he was set, that's speaking of his earthly kingdom, he was set as a king upon his throne. Now, this would put us into some difficulty. But we're just mentioning, and not speculate, for it's a bad thing to speculate, but you need to go down anyway. But would that not indicate that we're going to end it? I think of a king, I always think of the majesty.
If you do want to do it,
I'm not going to tell you. What I really believe, and later what I read in my Bible, that I will not only be a priest eternally in God's presence, in the glory of heaven, but I'll be there as a king, with majesty of us. Well, you need to be ashamed to speak that, wouldn't you, on a public platform. And to hear you share the message, you cry out, oh, such a wretch, such an unworthy being. Anything are comparable to this book. Yet to think that I'm not only left the truth, yet not eternal people, but that the king and priest, and they shall reign for them and death.
Now, your soul, don't get lost now in the world. Don't let the world get you down.
No, no. There's a crown above your head, and that is it ever tell your hope and tell your men. Don't let the earthly things get into too high a view in your estimation. Yes, he has made us not only priests but kings. And as kings we shall reign forever. I know you have no difficulty whatever thinking of Christ as the eternal king. I can do that myself. I know that presents no problem for you. I know that you can see as clear as noonday. Jesus, the one who was rejected and wore thorns on his head, he's going to be a king forever. Don't forget. That is just clearly taught in the Bible. If we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. Do you get that? If we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. And he held earth to all that is who followed him. And he held the earth with earth, shut out earth in his face. Looks, they have a kingdom for you. And I have thrones for you. I have places of majesty and honor for you to occupy. And that is part of the wonders of this kingdom. A kingdom and priests. For kings and priests. I judge that is one of the greatest mysteries that lies there. What form of administration we begin? What form of control we build again? Just as I learn in Titan, what I've been developing on the priest in glory, and as I offer to God in this burden, I'm being fitted for an eternity of praise in the next. So surely, as I learn to rule myself, as I learn to control myself, as I know something of control and something of divine rule in my soul, for the kingdom of God is within me. So I will be better. Might I put it very crudely, but very simply. Our apprenticeship is to be served for higher up. Well, sometimes you see a couple who's going to become a manager. I met one not so many weeks ago, and I said to him, well, you are a penny manager. And he's going to be a penny manager. And what did you always see to start a manager? You just carry the cases and you open the cases and you display the stuff and say, you just start a drone left. What's he going to be? That's where getting his training. Doesn't look like a manager now with a coat up. And the sleeves rolled up and work at even. It's different from most people. They would like to do that. But doing a better work. And if he's working, what's he doing? He's not making any training. What do you say? That's what we're doing now. You're then training for high up. That's why you know the Prince of Wales with every respect to his honor. You know as well that he sent the lady, he sent the and he sent there. What do you do? He's the man. This is condescending. There's no shortcut to it. There's nothing, no substitute for experience.
And so God allows us a little while there here below to become acquainted with the wonder of administration so that we can control ourselves and order our life and control others by the word of God.
As God may lead and thus become fitted for that dignified position as kings and priests in the heavens and earth. And again, we come to another thought. And that is the wonderful associations that we would have with all the redeemed in both. Not just the fact that we're over there.
What that ours is
somebody else wouldn't tell us now before you go, because we don't want to go out of that meeting tonight without telling us.
Will we know each other there?
And then we'll be far more than that, we'll be even ever you in it. Not far more than that.
Far more than that. Why, there are two men on the mount, I've mentioned them already. And they were born up. They were born hundreds of years apart. Come on now.
Listen
to them. Hundreds of years apart.
And Moses never listened to the face of Elijah in time. And he never met him on Mount Sinai or anywhere like that. But he seems to know him now.
And more than that, the men that were up there, they knew him too.
They pondered that.
And they not only had a deeper insight of all that was revealed to them in time, but they had a greater knowledge of one another.
And in the Messiah, a kingdom. What do you think of
that? Here are two men. And they're dead for centuries. And they know each other. And they're both able to think.
When you come to the journey, we don't think very much, but they're both able to think.
And they're both able to understand. And they're able to speak. And they're able to know the subject
that we speak about. The state of his disease. That we'd accomplish our wish.
Come on, man.
The Lord has given us a little picture there. Of things ahead. That we have not only the wonderful privilege of being occupied with Christ and enjoying his love. And singing his praises and adoring him and our priestly and kingly exercises, but we have a wonderful society of saints mingling with each other.
In all broken fellowship for all eternity.
This is Sunday. Because you see,
whether we're stiff ways or whatever we are, the man that gets to heaven, he has to bear the heaven through. And you might get people that's kicking against God's will and God's word in time, but you don't get that in heaven. And that will make things a lot easier for us all. Every knee in heaven is bending through the law for sinners slain, but every man's mind is squared by the supreme ruler. There's no rebellion up there. There's no kicking against God's word up there.
Nobody then is going to say the law into their own hands up there. These are terrible times, you know, of insubordination. Very few are prepared to bow to the word of God.
They say, well, I think it's right,
and no matter who they have said this, I'm going on it. Now look to your saint of God. We have been given a Bible.
And if every saint of God would bow to the word of God in time,
will be absolute fellowship amongst the people of God. There's a society up there, remember me? It's good. There's a fellowship up there that will never be broken. And when the Lord who will be in the midst of the throne will lead us from fountain to fountain and will increase our joys and eternal ages rule us, he will have not only this supreme place amongst the throne, for as I've already quoted, the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land, for every shape will be offered. What is it? That he don't get now.
Every saint will be hot
to bow to the will of the Lamb of the Lord.
Anything wrong with the companions? Is that the earth of faith in this morning? Are we going to have to get through the earth of heaven before we bow to the word of God?
Or to the will of heaven? Or to the will of God? Would there be anything wrong with being obedient now?
May every one of us say in our hearts now, before we leave tonight,
seeing God great and such
wondrous anticipations for.
I value too, my little. And all my delicacy, you have me dead, let I sit, but leave it. No. Never shall.
Our Father, we thank thee for a sense of ease that I bring, and for all your compassion thoughtfully, as we have gone over these scriptures in our text. They certainly do side of her name, and they at times go far beyond our grasp, but we do borrow from time in anticipation for all that will be out when our scenes happen as we land in a mansion stream. We thank thee for the wondering depth of things above, and who came to this world and suffered the hardships of this life and at length went to the cross of shame and died in our place. And we thank thee, he is going to see truth of the travel of a soul, and he will be satisfied, and his favour will continue throughout eternal day. O God, thou hast made his name yet, thou hast this God, and he as his own, redeemed by his blood. We can say before thee another time, worthy, O Lamb of God of life, that every name for thee should bow. Receive our thanks and pity us immense the common, bless thy dear sins, and as we all make our way home, shield us from every time we ask it in his most worthy name. Amen.
And now we are thankful to see you tonight again, as you know, Tuesday night will be a very small meeting sometimes, but in the city of Belfast. So we are thankful to see you come. It's just 3 more nights to bear with these meetings. That shouldn't be too much out of me. We'd be glad to see you back if you can manage it. That's Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night. I don't tell you that some people like to go. I think we like to our city night. And I hope you can get one of them fairly to well engage. So please do your utmost. Not only to come this time, but if you were just bringing the somebody to you, I've heard the meetings, and get them to come.
That the law of reality in part
needed your hand,
and you have to hear that it's not easy to get the other committed to the hope of the meeting.
Now our hymn tonight is 564.